Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to talk about NBA betting is Rohit Panea. You can follow him on Twitter at Covers_Row. Rohit, great to have you back on the show.
Always good to be here.
So today we are recording this Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern, and I figured since this is an NBA podcast, let's first show some love to the greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan, whose birthday it is today, and I actually have several Michael Jordan posters in my studio as we speak, and the reason I am here speaking right now is because of Michael Jordan. I grew up in Pittsburgh. They didn't have a basketball team, but my mom's side of the family from Chicago. So I would come to Chicago every year for Christmas. So I had Chicago blood in me. And being someone who grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, you wanted to be like Mike, and Michael Jordan was everything. And I remember even in the wintertime, I would shovel my driveway and I would do layups with my tongue hanging out to be like Mike. And it is because of my love of basketball and sports, which I credit to Michael Jordan, that I'm here on this microphone today.
Nice.
And I'm curious to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Do you have any, are you a Michael Jordan guy? Did you love basketball growing up? Show us some love to the GOAT.
Honestly, I actually almost wore a Michael Jordan rookie Chicago Bulls jersey on air today. Huge Jordan fan. And it's hard to like really just kind of take into effect the whole effect he had on our generation. Like I also started watching basketball early 90s. And just the impact he had was sensational. I mean, besides the off the court stuff, I don't care about that stuff. I didn't know about that stuff as a kid. Just the awe he inspired on the court was incredible. Like every single kid was out there in their alley, in their driveway, pretending to be Jordan. And that was it.
I remember the very first pair of Air Jordans that I ever got. I put them on and I was running around. I'm like, these are amazing. I had the shoes on the wrong feet. So I'm running around with my right shoe on my left foot, left shoe on my right foot. And I didn't care because there was something about Michael Jordan. And even today, just watching the Michael Jordan highlights, they just drop your jaw because of the way he floated in the air. And we're not going to get into Michael versus LeBron, but there was a certain, when you watched it, you were experiencing like a moonwalk, like for the man is landing on the moon every single day when you're watching Michael Jordan. And it was just, the level of excellence was so inspiring. And then me also loving all things sports marketing, they branded him incredibly from McDonald's to Gatorade. I mean, that Gatorade song, if you want to all of a sudden change your energy and vibe, wake up to the Michael Jordan Gatorade song every morning and see what happens, because there was just something about be like Mike, and I wanted to be like Mike, and I still want to be like Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. One of my fondest memories of being a Michael Jordan fan is my family's from India. I went back to India when I was about 12 years old with my mom and my brother, and just seeing the amount of Indians walking down the street, Michael Jordan paraphernalia, Chicago Bulls hats, all that stuff. It was crazy, man.
So this is also a sports betting podcast. So could you imagine if we had fast forwarded to right now where we had the opportunity to bet on Michael Jordan? I don't know the stats, and maybe there's someone at Covers or someone out there, but I would love to know what the Chicago Bulls ATS records would have been during the Michael Jordan era, during the playoffs, during the championships, because certainly from a money line perspective or a futures perspective, because right now we've experienced Golden State when they had the run. We've also experienced LeBron in his various runs, but we haven't quite seen anything like what Michael Jordan and the Bulls did. So I would love to see a post analysis on the gambling resume of the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, that would be pretty fascinating. Those, especially those mid, like the early 90s compared to that second after he came back, and just what the Bulls were doing those years that they won championships against the Jazz, against the Sonics, when they were winning 70 games, 69 games, those teams were just unbelievable. And they were doing it night in, night out against other teams that were really, really good. Like, that's the thing to keep in mind, too. The quality of the Jazz at the time, the quality of, the Spurs at the time, all these teams were really good.
Yeah, and the value in the Bulls may have actually been the defensive side of things, because with Scotty and Rodman and Harper and MJ, defensively, they were incredible. So they were a winning team. And back in the day, the scoring wasn't as high as it was right now. So I think there's a lot of different variables that, to me, would be very interesting to dive deeper on. And I would actually also like to know the pre-championship days when they had to try and get past the Cavaliers and when they had to try and get past the Pistons. And what was it like when the Bulls were on the come up before people realized Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan? Because if you go back on YouTube and watch what the announcers say when the Bulls win their first championship, it is mind-blowing, because there's so much criticism and skepticism over this Michael Jordan guy who finally got one. And you're like, you're hearing what they're saying, and it's just, I couldn't believe the lack of, not respect, but they're not giving him his due for what was just accomplished.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a little bit of revisionist history that we have looking back now. We have this idea that he was always just, you know, the greatest player ever, came to the league. I mean, he was averaging 28 points per game as soon as he came to the league, but he always, you know, he had a bit of a reputation when he came to the league as being just too much of a scorer, you know, that he wasn't the sort of team player that would elevate the play of his teammates like a Magic or a Bird, that sort of thing. And he, you know, he completely turned that on its head eventually. But yeah, the early 90s was definitely a time when people realized that was the case. And in the late 80s, he got a lot of criticism.
And we want to hear from you. What are your early thoughts of Michael Jordan? Do you love MJ as much as Rohit and I do? Feel free to send us a GIF or a video or anything. This is just a little way for us to prime the NBA talk that we're about to have. So show us some love. You can hit him up at @covers_row. You can hit me up at Rob Cressy on Twitter. All right. So number two thing for you, Rohit. Last week, I had Sean Lockhart on the podcast to talk about college basketball betting. And this is the first week. It was the first week after the Super Bowl. So football's done. Now it's like, all right, let's look forward. Let's do some college basketball betting. So it's Saturday morning, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a full slate today, get 8 games on the card, 7 college basketball, 1 NBA. And what happens? First 3 bets, 3-0. And I'm like, oh baby, I am loving this college basketball. Here we come. By the end of the night, lost the next 5 bets, went 3-5 for the day. And I wanted to share this because it was such a real betting moment when you start 3-0 and you're like, this day is going to be amazing. I'm going to be betting college basketball nonstop because I'm going to make so much, only to be humbled. And making matters worse, on the bets that I lost, I had some favorites that lost by double digits.
Oof. Yeah, that's always rough. And I mean, it's funny too, because that happens to me a lot. I actually find in UFC bets, I'll make my predictions ahead of time and the preliminary card goes great. And I'm like, all right, this is going to be an awesome night. And then every main card fight, just one way or the other, I just miss. And, you know, it just like afterwards, you just look at it and you're like, broke even or kind of busted. But when you go into that, you're watching the prelims, you're like, these are a bunch of guys no one else knows about. You're just hitting them left, right, and center. And then, you know, the main card hits and it's just upsets all over the place.
And I wanted to share this because we are just like you who is listening or watching this, where we don't win every bet. We don't lose every bet. Sometimes we win a bunch of bets in a row and then we lose a bunch of bets in a row. But I like the relatability part of this because we as a sports betting community, these are the things that actually happen. And I also want to hear from you anytime this happens for you guys. I love sharing when you get these runs one way or another, because it's part of being a real sports bettor. We're not one of those 50,000 whale star plays of the year, because that's not reality.
All about fun for me and just making the games and the events more interesting for sure.
Amen to that. All right. So now let's get to some NBA betting. And right now, the talk of the town, the Utah Jazz, 18-1-1 against the spread the last 20 games. And to put this into perspective, this is the second best ATS run over 20 games in the last 30 years. The only one that was better was the 14-15 Atlanta Hawks, who went 19-1. And that was that crazy Hawks team that I believe had five starters in the All-Star game. It was the likes of Kyle Korver and Al Horford and a bunch of like B-plus players that meshed together and did amazing. So the first question, Rohit, is with a team that is running this hot, do you continue to keep riding the Jazz?
I think at this point you have to, and I'm not 100% sure that either the public or sports books have adjusted properly. I mean, you talk about it. Yeah, they're 19-1 straight up over that span, 18-1-1 ATS, but they're not just scraping by in those games. I think 17 of those wins have come by double digits. Well, that's insane. And I was looking, we're shooting this right now on Wednesday. So the game tonight is against the Clippers. They're 3.5-point road favorites. But I mean, this is a Clippers team that doesn't have Paul George, might not have Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, I mean, sure, the Jazz don't have Conley, but they haven't had Conley for a pretty long stretch now. And they don't really seem to be missing a beat. I think at this point, yeah, you just have to kind of keep going Jazz till they cool off or things adjust a little bit more against them.
And I bet the Jazz today for the first time, -3.5 with a little extra juice, because I did see it's moving up to 4 at a lot of other books. So the next thing that was on my mind regarding the Jazz was fading the Jazz later on in the year, because they are peaking at, I guess there's no wrong time, because you would all obviously love to be on a run like this. But oftentimes you say you want to be playing your best basketball or football later on in the year. And here's this team that is straight humming right now. But what is the toll on this for this team? So for me, I'm actually going to be looking to fade the Jazz probably come the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really tough when you see them go into these, especially in the playoffs, when they're going against these, you know, 7-game battles against some other really tough teams. And I think a lot of teams that are kind of underachieving a little bit right now, Nuggets being a primary example, are a much tougher out in a 7-game series. And I think it's definitely going to be tough for them to keep that up. That being said, I mean, this is a team that has a solid amount of depth. They've been playing together a while, a lot of these guys, and it's really just a matter of maturation. They've beaten a lot of quality teams in this last little stretch. So it's, you know, it's going to remain to be seen kind of how they play the rest of the way. But right now, I'm kind of right on that bandwagon.
All right, moving on next. Another team of note, the Brooklyn Nets. And they have straight been crushing the over at the tune of 73% to the over on the year. Best in the NBA by a margin of over 7 points. That is huge. And yeah. Andrew Cayley had a great article on Covers titled "What You Missed in NBA Betting During the Football Season," where he talked about betting trends. And Brooklyn has given up a league worst 123.8 points per game. And the Nets have cashed the over in 18 of 20 games and in 11 of 13 games since acquiring James Harden. So once again, we just talked about the Jazz on a run right now. Why would I not just bet the Nets over for every game the rest of the season?
Honestly, at this point, I think I'm right with you. I'm just going to keep doing that till they really just kick those totals up. You saw that last game they played against Phoenix. I think the total was set pretty high, but they still went way over 128-124 win against the Suns. They're just crushing it. And the thing is right now, even if they're missing one of those guys, as long as they have 2 out of 3 when it comes to Durant, Harden, and Irving, they're just going to fill up the basket and they're going to let in tons of points on the other end. This team is the best offensive team in the league, might be the worst defensive team in the league, and they play at a fast pace. There's really no team, like no reason to go against that right now. And I think, yeah, I think it's like something like 21-2 to the over in their last 23 games. So going back even before they got Harden, but then you think about it too, on the other end of things, and how high can odds makers really even set the totals, right? Like, before you start getting into an absurd, you know, 245, 247, until you start seeing those numbers. And until you really start seeing those crazy numbers, I think you just keep hitting the over, especially if they're playing against another team that's capable on offense.
So What I would say on the flip side would be if they've been cashing at 73%, we always like to talk about a regression to the mean because we're not getting the 73% that just happened. Those numbers are going to continue to tick up and maybe they're not hitting 73%, but we really just want that to be hitting 53%. And I'm with you in terms of the, hey, how high can you make this? But there's also no such thing as free money. So there is a part of me, as uncomfortable as it would be, that would say there has to be some sort of regression due. But for what you're saying, the pace of which they play, the players that are on the team offensively, and then how porous they are on the defensive side of things as entertainment bettors, I don't see why I wouldn't just start putting all my, not all my money, start putting a consistent bet on Brooklyn and say, you know what? If they get 53% or more, congratulations. That's awesome for me. But I don't really see this hitting on the flip side of the Knicks are at 65% on the under for the year by a margin of 6 points. So I don't really feel like if we were to go on this strategy that all of a sudden you're going to be hitting only a third of this bet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Knicks are a good example of that. They've hit the over now back-to-back games. And yeah, things eventually, most things will settle down and come back down to the mean, or just odds makers will figure it out and they'll start changing those numbers. And I think those things definitely play a role. And we've seen that with some other teams. Atlanta Hawks have been a big one for that. The Hawks were the best under team in the league just a couple of weeks ago. I think they were 6-16 to the under, 6-16 to the over. And now they've cashed the over in five straight games. And I mean, that sort of makes sense. You looked at the Hawks last year and they were terrible, just terrible defensively, could put up points, of course, with Trae Young. And then at the beginning of this year, they looked like they've turned things around on defense, but it was a bit of a mirage and things have changed. You know, you have guys like Rondo injured, DeAndre Hunter, one of their best perimeter defenders injured. Gallinari's back in the lineup. He has a little bit of pop on offense, but you know, you take away a little bit on defense there. And so it makes sense that, you know, the Hawks have regressed and now all of a sudden the lines are moving the opposite direction. And now might be a good time to jump on the Hawks and start taking them on overs again.
So shout out to DeAndre Hunter, by the way. For those who don't remember, he was the one at Virginia who hit that clutch shot. It may have been a three, I think, to send it to overtime. And the reason I know this is because I had Virginia to win it all in my bracket at that time. He goes to the Hawks and there's a bunch of big men on Atlanta with Clint Capella and all them. And you're like, where is he going to find time? He broke out this year for real. Like this was, I believe this is his second year. He is a really good player, putting up double digits, but more importantly, defensively, he was really good. So his injury was big. So one thing that I want to do is help us identify, well, how do we know when things are going to be going over or under for a team? Well, I think it's key to be looking at injuries because someone like DeAndre Hunter, to the average fan, whatever, I barely even know who this guy is, except for the fact that he's probably one of the reasons why their team was better defensively without him. Now, are you hoping for a replacement level player on defense or potentially worse?
Exactly. And that's the thing is, you know, you see more minutes for guys like Kevin Huerter and Gallinari. And, you know, those guys just don't have that defensive impact, but they still score on offense. So, yeah, you know, you're going to see those totals from Atlanta creep a little bit higher.
So what are your thoughts on first quarter betting? I think one of the things that as I get deeper into basketball betting as a whole, I think you start to look at the menu and the various options. You say, all right, well, where is their value? And I know oftentimes when we look at if we're going to be betting a second half or even a full game, and you get to the fourth quarter, are the starters in? Does the team have a big lead? So all of a sudden it's not a true of a game once you get further on, as opposed to the first quarter. Well, wait a second. Now there could be some opportunity for value. There's teams that start hot or there's teams that give up big leads. What are your thoughts on first quarter betting and how do we evaluate an opportunity like that?
I think that's great. I mean, derivatives are one of the best markets to take advantage of teams that either have no depth or just are very strong up front, come out fast. And a lot of times those teams might be a bit surprised and they kind of fall under the radar for teams that you might not expect to start strong. A lot of the teams that aren't great in the league or have a lot of young talent, the problem isn't that they, you know, start games poorly. The problem is that they end up letting other teams go on these runs at some point in the game. But they often can keep things close early. So that gives you a little bit of value if you're betting on some of these underdogs early. Chicago is a good example of that. The Bulls have been keeping things close generally, especially earlier on in the game. And then on the other flip side of things, you have teams like the Bucks, not playing their greatest right now, but for a long time, they were just destroying teams in the first half, especially at home. And they're still kind of doing that at home. You saw that last night the last time they played against the Raptors, when the Raptors did win in the end, but they were much better in the first half. They just kind of fizzled in the second half. For whatever reason, the Bucks just aren't playing well in the second half of games, but the first half, they are just phenomenal still. So if you can run with them in the first half, go with it, because I still like that first half Bucks bets, especially if they're at home. I think they're 9-2 ATS in the first half at home this year. So that's a bet to consider as well. But yeah, I mean, overall, they've definitely regressed a little bit. They're definitely not the ATS monster they were last year.
So is there a simple resource that can tell us some of these things? Because what I want to know as an entertainment better and as a host of a podcast is I want easily accessible information, and I'm sure it's in cover somewhere where, cool, what's going on in the first quarter or the first half for teams, or what are teams doing in the second half? Or, you know, what I've actually not seen anywhere is live betting stats, because speaking to your Bucks bet, if we're going to be betting against the Bucks, and right now for everyone listening right now, I'd be writing down right now, think about betting against the Bucks in the second half, because we see in the live betting the opportunities that present itself. But I would love to see the opportunities by teams that get presented, because I think last night was a perfect example when the Nets came back. And I think at one point they were 20 and a half point dogs in live betting, came back from 20 plus points to straight up win. And I know last year live betting was a huge opportunity for me, because you look at a team like that and you're like, well, of course I would just want to take that. It just seems so obvious.
Yeah. Exactly. Especially with a team like the Nets that can score in a hurry, right? Just dropping threes from all over the place. And yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that you don't necessarily see those stats out there too much. One resource I really like is Team Rankings. They have stuff for, you know, NBA, NFL, major college sports, that sort of thing. And they chop down all those NBA stats into first quarter, second quarter, first half, you know, scoring margins, home away splits, that sort of thing. So you can really see the teams that do tend to play very strong early in games or fade late in games. And that kind of gives you a great barometer. I mean, obviously you have to take other things into account. If a team, you know, like one team in particular, maybe the Jazz don't have the greatest scoring margin in fourth quarters. Well, that might be because they're just destroying everyone early and, you know, taking their starters out at the end. So just keep those things in mind. But at the same time, if you just want those raw stats per quarter, try to see which team starts strong or starts slow. NBA Team Rankings is a great resource.
Where are you seeing value this year in NBA betting?
Honestly, it's just about jumping on those trends when you see it and jumping off when they get cold. And right now, a couple of the trends that have kind of popped up for me that I love, Chicago Bulls as underdogs. And that's a big one for me, because I feel like that's not one people are going to key in on. The Bulls still aren't a good team by any means. So I feel like people or bettors really don't notice that right away. They're 13-6 ATS as an underdog, 9-1 ATS as a road underdog. So they're really just being gifted too many points in those situations, because they're still not winning that many games. But if you see, you know, a lot of points given to the Bulls, that's definitely something to take advantage of. The other thing that I've noticed lately is just a little bit of regression pointed out with the Hawks. Also the Pelicans. Pelicans have just been huge over bet. I think they've cashed the over 6 straight games now. This was a team too, beginning of the year, all of a sudden it looked like they had turned around their defense. They had added Steven Adams, had Eric Bledsoe. All of a sudden they were near the top of the league in defensive rating, and now regression set in. Over the last couple of weeks, they've just looked brutal on the defensive end of the floor again, but they're scoring points. They put up 144 last night against Memphis. This is a team that, you know, has Ingram, they have Zion, they can fill up the bucket. And they will let in a lot of points. And now that things have kind of shifted in the opposite direction from the beginning of the year, they're cashing overs again. So I'm saying, you know, ride those overs again. When you see those numbers get too high, or they start to, you know, cash the under every now and then, lay off a little bit and jump onto the next big trend.
And speaking of the Pelicans, I am actually on the over in the first quarter total at 59.5 for the Pelicans. That number has jumped up from 58 to 59.5 for anyone who's able to listen to this before the game actually happens. Last thing I want to get you out on, Rohit, is MVP odds. And right now, looking at DraftKings, LeBron the favorite at plus 180, Joel Embiid at plus 450, Jokic at plus 500, Luka at plus 1,000, and Giannis at plus 1,200. So number one, this looks like it's LeBron's to lose. Do you think he's the one that you should be betting on? And if not, where do you see the value?
Honestly, this is one of the most wide open MVP races I've seen in a little while. And I do see, you know, some value in LeBron for sure. I think a big thing that surrounds the MVP voting, which is kind of unfortunate, really shouldn't, but a big thing that has always kind of surrounded it is the narrative. And I think this year there is a very strong narrative pushing for LeBron to be rewarded, especially for what he's doing at this stage of his career. That being said, I mean, I think there's a lot of great consideration for some other players. I would stay away from Joker. I think he's a great player. His stats are off the charts. But you look in, year out, and the player that wins MVP needs to be on a team that's near the top of their conference, if not the league. And the Nuggets just, you know, they're a playoff team, but they're certainly not at the top of the standings. So unless they, you know, bounce up there, not much value there. On the flip side, what I just mentioned about MVP always getting handed out to players on really good teams, if the Jazz finish the year at the top of the league, who knows, maybe someone like Donovan Mitchell would be a great gamble. Player I'm really liking right now, too, is Kawhi Leonard. I got him at plus 3,000 the other day. You know, he's kind of flying under the radar, too, but the Clippers are having a great year. You can tell that when he's out, they're not the same, especially on the defensive end of the floor. He's having a great year statistically, shooting lights out, and he's just the sort of player that already has that reputation. He's an MVP caliber player, great team. And he's missed six games with injuries, but in the grand scheme of things, if he manages to stay healthy the rest of the way, that's not too bad at all.
Absolutely love what you said about Kawhi, because I'm looking at this and I'm like, all right, well, Luka, while being the favorite heading into the season, I don't see Dallas being good enough at this point for him to get there. Giannis, we're kind of tired of him being the MVP. They're just not the same team that we've previously seen. I agree with you on Jokic, and the narrative isn't going to be there with no Jokic anyways, because everyone's not going to be like, oh, get that guy the MVP. So Now you're looking at Joel Embiid and you're like, all right, well, Philadelphia is going to need, they're going to need to win the East. He's going to need to stay healthy. And at plus 450, I would much rather have Kawhi at plus 3000 because I don't really see that Embiid is that much more reliable or more of an upside. And the narrative becomes, all right, well, Kawhi, that means the Clippers are going to get the, let's call it the 2 seed, 1 seed. And I'm curious from you, how much impact is Anthony Davis being down, albeit for potentially a short term, affect LeBron James one way or another?
Yeah. And I think that plays a big role because it can kind of work both ways. If LeBron, you know, takes this and runs with it, all of a sudden he could become the huge favorite, you know. At the same time, if the Lakers struggle a little bit without AD, lose a few games, that actually kind of hurts LeBron's chances at the same time. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. The only way that, you know, he can make a huge stake to the claim if the Lakers keep winning, he keeps putting up big numbers. But at the same time, if he, you know, if he puts up those numbers and the Lakers start losing, that doesn't look quite as good for his MVP chances.
Rohit, I am now on board with Kawhi at plus 3,000. Following this podcast, I am going to be making that bet. And if you have an MVP bet, we would love to hear from you. What is it that of the options right now on February 17th, where would you be playing a few jelly beans? So Rohit, love jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
Best spot is on Twitter, at @covers_ro, at @covers_ro.
And we had a lot of NBA stuff to be jamming about, from Michael Jordan to the Jazz and the Nets. And are we going to be on those trends, the MVPs? I'd love to hear from you about it. What are your thoughts from a betting standpoint one way or another? Or are you doing some live betting? I saw some people in our community that did live bet the Nets twice last night. So congratulations to them. You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure to use hashtag Sharp 600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag @covers And I'm always so grateful for everybody who listens and subscribes and hits us up on Twitter, because we love being part of this community and jamming with you. And remember, if you want to be sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The broken delic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.